All right, move up here real quick. Get everything all nice and set up. So first of all, I just want to say thank you guys for having me again. I had a great time last time, and I'm very honored to be invited to do this again. So thank you guys for giving me the privilege to stand up here for you guys. So we'll start with this, the verse for today, Hebrews 22 through 25. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward good love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So once again, thank you guys. I'm excited to be up here, and hope you guys are ready for a great message, I hope. Thank you. Great job, choir. You guys sound great, as usual. And Drew, great job with the sound. Underappreciated. I know the struggle of it, so. So obviously, the big theme of this month, October, what we're doing for the next month is, you know, the idea of I love my church. You know, what does that mean? You know, I love my church. And this is kind of similar to what I preached on last time in May. I talked a lot about what the church means to you, what Cokesbury means to me, you know. Cokesbury's always been a part of my life, you know, when I was young to now, especially as I've gotten older, you know, drumming every week in the contemporary service, preaching obviously now for the second time. You know, a big part of my life growing up was the youth group, going to youth every week, sometimes twice a week. You know, I've had countless late nights because of mission trips, because of meltdown, because of different trips, just staying up, having a good time, fellowshipping, just having fun with all my friends. You know, this last summer I had a bit of a unique opportunity. I was able to help out on the other side of things, more of an intern type role. I was able to do stuff basically helping out people who were in my shoes at one point. And that was a really cool experience. And, you know, growing up with all these people that I was just meeting or meeting new people or people that I've known my whole life, it was truly incredible to see. You know, I've always known that Cokesbury would be there for me, you know. Whether I was at my absolute best or my absolute worst, I always knew that Cokesbury would be the rock for me kind of to be on. Last time I preached, I mentioned the story about my good friend Stephen. My friend Stephen, whenever I had my first kind of heartbreak, he was there for me at a Cokesbury event. He was there to kind of comfort me, you know. And there's some other great stories about stuff that people have done here at church for me, you know. In my dorm room, behind my computer, I have a little, like, board. It has some pictures on it. Like, half of them are pictures of Cokesbury from when we moved from Summit to here, or pictures of me and Maddie Fowler whenever she graduated and stuff like that. Miss Dawn, a very big part of my life, the youth leader. My dad always jokes whenever it comes to my friends or girls that I'm talking to, whatever it may be, he always jokes that, like, you can pass the test with us, everyone can love you, but you still have to meet Miss Dawn. And she's kind of like, she's kind of the final test to determine whether or not, you know, you really, really can stay. You know, these people here have an impact on me, and they're so important to me and my family, and I just think that's beautiful. But, you know, talked about me. How does the idea of I love my church relate to our verse? You know, how does it relate to Hebrews? I think that the church, and I'm kind of, when I say church, I'm talking kind of generally, but, you know, specifically Cokesbury as well. You know, the church holds a lot of important roles, you know, both spiritually as well as more kind of physically, you know, what we do in the world kind of just grounded. You know, and spiritually, it's sort of obvious. You know, we all read our Bible. We all worship through music. We come up here and sing or drum or play guitar or whatever it may be, doing stuff like that, having groups together that come together to learn more. But there's other things, too. There's that more physical. And that's not to say that the spiritual stuff isn't important, you know. There's a reason we meet once a week. You know, there's a reason that in third grade, when you get through it, you kind of get a Bible from Cokesbury. That's kind of your rite of passage in a way, you know, just showing that you're growing up, you're maturing. You know, we do these things for a reason. But I think that sometimes what gets kind of lost up in the whole chaos is the idea of physicality, or not physicality, but being physical and being together. You know, what does that mean? Because I think that might be just as important, because I think without that physical aspect, without that togetherness, sometimes you miss a lot of, you know, what's important. You know, I think community as a whole is extremely important, you know. I think groups for high school or middle school, whatever it may be, I think those groups that come together with a common goal, common interest, I think those are great. And I think that community can really bring people together to do some great things. Now, obviously, what we do here at church might be a little more important than drama club or chess club or whatever it may be. You know, we have a bit of a higher calling, but the whole idea of community is beautiful. And, you know, last year, 2020, we lost some of that, obviously. You know, COVID kind of robbed us of it, not being able to meet physically here. I had a lot of online classes. I was finishing high school, going into college, and I had to do a lot of classes with Zoom or Google Meet or sometimes just online entirely. And, you know, trying to form a connection with a teacher is hard enough. And when you're trying to do it over Zoom, you lose a lot of that. And those connections aren't long-lasting, lifelong connections. You know, it's just you and a teacher. Every once in a while, you'll find someone you really like. But still, it's nothing that you're forming your entire, like, identity on. And that's what you do here at church. You're forming kind of the basis of who you are. And it's hard to make that connection. You know, it's hard to really grow closer to people that you've known your whole life or people you're trying to meet to know your whole life. It's hard to do that, you know. It was the right thing to do. It was a good thing to stay safe and stay aware, but it still doesn't make it any less easy trying to, like I said, make that sort of connection with one another. And that's what makes it so great that we are able to come back. And even if you are online, it's a lot easier when there's people in the audience, when there's people who you can see are worshiping and doing that, when the choir can be up here singing, and we don't have to be all over the place, and we can be together. You know, the verse talks about that a lot. The verse emphasizes what it means to be together physically. It says, you know, do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And I think we should put a lot of emphasis on that part, encouraging one another to be together and to be with one. You know, one of the most famous verses of all time when it comes to this idea is Matthew 18:20. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." And this is important, you know, the whole idea that you don't have to be in a church in a big steeple on a Sunday morning in order to worship. I've had some wonderful moments with friends from the church, pastors, youth leaders. I've had those wonderful moments with me and one person, or me and two people, me and a group of three people. You don't have to be there. But that doesn't change the fact that these group moments, these moments here together, are so special and so important. You know, the community aspect of church is something that's always drawn me to Cokesbury. That's why I keep coming back every week. You know, I love the faith and I love that, but the people here is what makes me keep staying and makes me come up and preach here or come up and drum. That's what means so much to me, you know. We've had so many great moments in the last, you know, couple months just since we opened up. You know, Pastor Ashley having her final send-off in Asbury, meeting together, just celebrating a wonderful person, eating food, laughing, having a good time. You know, youth group, which, you know, just coming together once a week, talking about God, playing games, having a fun time. You know, recently I had a cool opportunity, a couple of college students who went to youth, we all got together with some of the youth leaders, and we just went to dinner. We went, sat, talked about life, and we didn't even have necessarily, you know, a Bible study or something like that, but I still felt God there, because in those moments where you're together with friends, with relatives, with close friends, all that, whatever it may be, you can have super spiritual moments with just that sense of community. Because, you know, a lot of the times when we start talking about religion, people can get scared, you know. It can be an intimidating thing. You know, religion is big. It's overwhelming sometimes to just think about that idea. And a lot of times when you're just talking to someone and saying, you know, "Hey, how you doing, man? You had a good week? Had a fun time?" You can really see people's light shine through, and you can see their faith shine through, because they're at their most comfortable. And I think that's great, having those moments together where you can just be yourself and God can work through you in incredible ways. And I think that's what makes that community so important, and having that close, tight-knit group of people so important. You know, one of my former youth colleagues is here, so thank you for coming. I'm not going to call her out, but I appreciate it. It really does mean a lot to me that you came. You know, what does the rest of the verse mean? You know, it talks about a lot of other stuff in the verse as well, not just community. It talks about how important it is to have faith and how that faith affects our relationship, not only with God, but with others around us. You know, one of the verses, or one of the lines is, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." So I briefly mentioned earlier, and I'll mention it again, you know, I don't know everything. I don't claim to know everything. I'm 19, I'll be 20 in a few weeks. I don't have a theology major. I'm just up here because I love it and because I love this church. So I have to simplify it for me a little bit. I have to make it a little easier for me to kind of explain, because, you know, it's a little different, but that's what makes it fun. So hear me out here. I'm going to talk about boxing for a second. So last night there was a big match. It was Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury. It was their third match in their trilogy. They fought in 2018 to a draw. They fought last year, and Tyson Fury beat him, Wilder, quite handily. This is their third match. This is a big deal. I was rooting for Deontay Wilder. I was very into it. We had some friends together. We bought the pay-per-view, had some food, had a good time. And you know, the build-up to this match has been very tense, to say the least. You know, Deontay Wilder has said a lot of things to Tyson Fury that was not very nice, and Tyson Fury said a lot of things to Wilder that was not very nice. You know, these two guys, they don't like each other, you know, and boxing isn't exactly a sport about friendship. It's two men punching each other for 36 minutes. You know, that's what it is. So, not exactly what you think about when you think of Sunday mornings. So the match happens and Fury wins. Fury wins. It was a great match. You know, a lot of people saying how it's one of the best matches ever. A great fight. And they get up to Fury, and you have to think about what Fury's situation is. Fury just won his 31st match. He's undefeated, never lost. He just beat his biggest rival, who said a lot of things about him. He's on top of the world. He can basically do anything he wants when it comes to boxing. If Tyson Fury said on that microphone, "You know what? I hate all of you. I won. I'm going home," you couldn't really fault him. He had just done basically what no one else could. They come up to him and they ask him a question and they go, "You know, blah, blah, blah. How do you feel?" And the first thing Tyson Fury says was, "Thank you to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." He then goes on to say something else and then talks about the match. But that kind of stuck with me, you know. We've heard it all before. We've all seen after football games or baseball games, we've seen the athletes who say, you know, "Thank you to my Lord and Savior." But that's not usually after a fight with someone that they hate. They don't usually go to that. A lot of people would instinctually talk about themselves, but he still brought that up first. He still went to that. He posted it on Twitter like 2 minutes later. That's what he was thinking about. And, you know, I made a joke to my friend. I don't like Tyson Fury. I don't like him. I don't want him to win. And I said, it's like he knows. He's trying to mock me. It's like he's like, "Hey, you know what? Even though I won and you're mad, here's a little help for your sermon tomorrow. You're welcome." It's like, what can I even say? It's like, you know, I'm not a happy, but it's like, you know, good for you. Thanks, I guess. But next time, you're going down. And, you know, I talk about the sports here. I talk about boxing because, you know, faith is hard. Faith is a big concept. And that kind of relates to, you know, what I get out of the message is this. You know, what I really got from reading this scripture was the idea that faith is difficult, but we get what out of it, what we put into it. You know, what we get out of our faith is what we put into it, you know? It's hard. It is a hard concept to kind of grasp. You know, God as an idea is overwhelming. You know, the idea that there's someone who knows our beginning and our end, who knows everything we're gonna do, our fate, the difference between right and wrong, morality, that is a stressful idea to even try and comprehend. You know, just writing this sermon stressed me out, trying to write this and think of enough ways to talk about it. That alone kind of made me anxious. And, you know, God knows that. God knows that we can't do everything. We don't have all the power. We can't go to everyone and spread the message. But it does talk about spurring on one another towards love and good deeds, you know? And the church here has options to help with that. You know, if you're trying to do good deeds, mission trips, going to Costa Rica, going to Alabama, North Carolina, Louisiana, doing stuff that, volunteering, obviously, pumpkins, eventually, go do that. Those things are important, and they help the church, and they help spread the message. And, you know, with love, you have things like study groups coming together, community, whether it's the community of the choir or the church band or just everyone here, youth group. Those communities and those groups of people are important because that helps us grow closer to one another, grow closer in our faith, and it helps us just become more spiritual people. You know, be involved here. Do stuff here at the church. There's a lot to do. There's always something available. But in a way, it's even more important to be involved outside of the church spreading that message. You know, if you're here at Cokesbury, you probably have a connection or a calling or something like that. You know, you're here for a reason. But not everyone has that, you know. There are plenty of people who don't. Now, I don't recommend going and yelling at people about faith or holding signs on the side of the road or anything like that. But committing through action and words speaks words, you know. Doing those good things and being the person God would want you to be, it speaks volumes, you know. You represent what's on what you're wearing. You know, we have these shirts. I love my shirts. I have probably 18 Cokesbury shirts in my dorm. You know, whenever we go on trips with the youth group, Miss Dawn would always be like, "Hey guys, remember, you represent what's on the shirt. Before you do anything dumb, it comes back to us. So think about that." And, you know, that's a little different. That's more about the fact that, you know, we're all kids. We don't know what we're doing. We're crazy. Never trust anyone, you know, under the age of like 20, myself included. But it's different, you know, obviously, when it comes to that, when you're wearing those Cokesbury shirts, when you're wearing these I Love My Church shirts, when you're out and about, just being that good person, setting that example, It doesn't have to be crazy. You don't have to go fight someone and then say, I love Jesus. You don't have to do that. But hey, being a friend, you know, standing up for someone, just telling people that they're loved. Simple acts like that can make a big difference in people's lives, and they can show what your faith, what your community means to you. And that to me is beautiful, that even just people like me, a 19-year-old college student, can still make a difference. And so can a person who's 50 years old and been doing this for a long time. So my parting thoughts, you know, as I kind of close this out, you know, we are not perfect people. Let's not do that. We are not perfect people, no matter how hard we try. You know, no matter what happens, we're going to make lots of mistakes for the rest of our lives. You know, we'll make plenty today. You know, I should have checked Facebook. I didn't know pumpkins weren't coming today. I was shocked when I came into church today. I couldn't believe it. That's on me. But we have this community here for a reason. You know, this community here is to help us get through it. You know, everyone here at Cokesbury, they're not trying to fix you. They're not trying to make you perfect. That's not what the Cokesbury wants. It's not what the church wants. Because we know here, you have to be faithful and you have to not give up. So, you know, last sermon I mentioned a lot of songs. This sermon I mentioned sports. I'll mention a movie now. I'll mention movies, you know, really to tie things together. My favorite movie trilogy of all time is a trilogy by a guy named Richard Linklater. It's called The Before Trilogy. And the whole idea of it is basically it's three movies about this couple that meets in Paris, and then the next movie takes place 9 years later, and then the next movie takes place 9 more years later. And it's just about their relationship and how they grow together. And a quote that Ethan Hawke's character says is he goes, I accept the whole package, the crazy and the brilliant. I know you're not going to change, and I don't want you to. It's called accepting you for being you. Now, this isn't about religion. It's about love, obviously. It's a little different. But I still think that that idea of accepting everyone, you know, accepting the crazy, accepting the brilliant, accepting everyone no matter what their faults are, I think that's what the church is in a nutshell. You know, we don't want perfect people. We don't need perfect people. You know, the community here at Cokesbury, and I hope every church, is about accepting this. And that's, to me, what the heart of Christianity is. That's why community is so important, because you can have that acceptance, and you can have those moments where people can truly feel at peace in themselves. Now, it's not always easy. You still have to make that choice. You still have to make that step forward. You know, it doesn't have to be crazy. Sometimes it's just as simple as, hey, I want to go and be a better person today, or hey, I want to go to church today. Hey, I want to go play in the worship band. You just have to do all that you can. You know, Christianity, I think when you boil it down, is about acceptance and perseverance. You know, like I've been saying, yeah, you have to love everyone, but it's not always easy. And you know, you always have to be faithful, but it's not always easy. You have to persevere. You can't just give up. You have to sometimes accept that it's going to be hard, but if you stick with it, you will be rewarded. You know, I was blessed. Cokesbury has been a great church for me. I love Cokesbury. It's always been there for me no matter what. And that's why I'm up here. That's why I'm preaching. That's why I have this shirt on. That's why I'm going to be here drumming next week, because I love the church and the people here, and everyone means a lot to me. But not everyone has that, you know? Not everyone has faith. Not everyone has a great church. People are in bad situations. But you have to do your best at all times, you know, to spread that message. I want there to be more kids when I grow up who can come up here and do stuff like this, who can take my spot drumming one day. I want there to be someone who can come and be the light in the community that we need and that the church wants. You know, I joke a lot about how, you know, it's like, hey, Cokesbury is kind of the best. I'm like, we're the Tyson Fury of Pensacola. We're the number one church. And I love Cokesbury, but in the end, I'm just kidding. I want the other churches, whether they're Methodist or Baptist or whatever they may be, I want them to be that light. I want them stealing our ideas. I want them to have I Love My Church shirts, you know? I want them to do that, because that to me means that they're making an impact. No matter how small or how big it may be, if people like that are doing good things, that means that we are advancing the gospel. And not only that, it means that people are being the best they can be. And that's really all that you can ask for, you know? And that's what brings me here, you know? The fact that there are people here who want to make a difference. This community is so strong that no matter what happens, we're trying to make the world a better place. Whether it's selling pumpkins to make some money, to go on mission trips, or playing music, or just trying to be good people. You know, we want to make a change, and we want to encourage each other. Whether it's through good deeds or through love, we're trying to be better people. And that's all you can ask for, and that's why I love this church. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for allowing us to come up here and play music and speak and just come and have this sense of community together, you know? Thank you for allowing us to have these great opportunities to try and make a difference in the world, you know. Please allow us to get these pumpkins here quickly so we can continue on trying to do that and making a difference through that. And allow us to just stay safe and stay healthy so we can keep spreading that word. Let us all have a wonderful rest of the week so we can come back next week and do it again. And just keep everyone safe and keep everyone's thoughts and prayers and whatever else needs to be said. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.